8:45.
Give him a call through tunnels. Call to order. We are called to order. Why don't we do a roll call?
Joe McCarthy.
Van Denny.
John Bogart.
Brad Reese.
Steve Franks.
Bill Underwood. And why don't we do a pledge of allegiance? And why don't we have our new treasurer lead the pledge?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Well,
thank you. Awesome.
Yeah,
holy cow.
Nice.
That's a scary concept.
Yeah, right. You're going to do great.
I've got to figure out how to pay my taxes on my house.
Oh, here, let me get that on.
It is 2 days. Oh, my God, it was 2 days ago. What am I doing?
It's only a 20-year assignment based on the past treasurer.
Is that what it is? I said, I'm not that bad.
I think Dennis said he was the second one. I mean, the first one guy before him was like,
Brad, you know?
18,
I don't know. But
18,
I do,
20
right
years or something
saying.
Like that. And
Dennis
then,
a long
Dennis was like 1997, 98
wow,
when he took over.
Yeah.
Well, that means if I'm here 20 years, it means some amazing things happen. How's that?
Well, he actually,
in a good way.
When we first talked about it, he goes, this is how long a commitment. He were kind of like, I'm not here forever.
Don't ask Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, he had some.
But thank you for the appointment.
He had some challenges along the way. But good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Public comment. I see we now have no public, so we'll pass on that. Discussion items. We'll introduce Crystal when she gets here. Approval of the minutes. I assume they're in
attached.
The package here.
Attached.
And they look like they're 2 pages.
Yes.
And that was on January 16th. And present, absent was Joe. Present were Lynn, Brad, Dennis, Steve, and Frank. And we had Dennis, you, and, you're just on time. You're
sorry
just,
for my tardiness.
You heard your cue.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you again.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
I'm Lynn.
Very nice to meet you, Crystal.
And I'm Joe McCarthy.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
I'm Joe Underwood, Crystal. Hi.
We can start all over.
Why don't we go back to, we just went through, four items, but none of which were all administrative type of things, and we passed over the introduction of Crystal Miles to the committee, and we were on the approval of the minutes. So why don't we go back to, we had a roll call, so why don't we go around that table and introduce ourselves to you first so you know what our backgrounds are, starting with Joe. You want to start?
Joe McCarthy.
No, who you are. Tell her who you are.
Who are you?
His background.
Well, no,
tell
we
us
don't.
About your
okay.
life,
we don't. Yeah. Okay, well, after I got out of prison. No, I'm a CFO background and longtime chief financial officer, various companies, and currently I'm consulting at my last company was sold, so a couple years ago. So I'm still doing the same kind of thing, but going all over the place and doing work separately. So, been Villa Park resident since 93. So, kids were raised here and everything. Yeah, so I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah. And your educational background was?
Penn State. Yeah.
We won't hold that against them.
That's when you got out of prison? When you got out of the
Penn? Out of the Penn.
Oh, that was a good one.
Out of the state Penn, yeah. That's an old one, bro.
I came from Maryland. I remember that
one. Oh, okay.
Lynn?
I'm a retired finance and economics professor from Chapman, 45 years there.
Nice.
I lived in Villa Park since 91, more or less.
And your educational background, Lynn? What was that?
PhD in economics.
I'm John Bogart. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
I've been here since 89, Northwestern MBA, Ohio State engineering degree.
What do you do now?
I run a small company now, have for about 25 years, and before that I was with a couple of big companies.
Brad?
Brad Reese. I don't know how long we lived here, like 22 years, I guess. Own and ran a company. I'm still there. The company was sold actually about a year and a half ago, but I'm on contract for 2 years. I've been there 41 years. Wow. So anyways, used to be on city council and love the city and happy to help in any way I can.
You're probably one of the most popular mayors we had.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Steve Franks, you know.
I'm Bill Underwood. I'm retired and have been doing the last 8 or 10 years of volunteering, but before that, and immediately before that, I was spent a year on the grand jury, and then before that, I ran my own company of former Big Eight CPA type of guys that we did very large-scale computer systems for very large companies. And before that, I was a partner with Arthur Anderson on the management consulting side from 66 to 90, I guess, so quite a while there.
Wow.
With a 3 years out for Vietnam, ran a couple of tours in Vietnam in that war that nobody seems to remember anymore, but it was there. And
conflict, it was a conflict.
Also had an MBA. Looked like a war to me. Yeah. And I had an MBA from Northwestern in investment finance as well.
Well, it's an honor to be here with you guys are extremely important, so I appreciate you letting me join, and I am in awe of all of you, so I'm going to just absorb as much as I can.
Well, congratulations on being elected.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your background. We heard a little bit.
Oh, okay. You want the abridged version, or you want
we're picking the brief here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Actually, a research scientist is what my original life goals were, and practiced for many years doing breast, ovarian, and melanoma clinical trials. Got married, still worked for a while. Once we had the kids, quit, stayed home, raised the family. Then once the kids got old enough, my husband said, you need something to do. So we have a small business in Orange that we've had for 18 years. So I started doing the hiring and firing, and then got to the point where he really couldn't manage the accounting portion. So I took that over, and it was quite a feat to learn from. I mean, I'm a numbers data person, and I like to learn and research, but it's a whole different language when you're dealing with accounting, so I felt like I was learning a whole new language, which was okay. But so then that's what I've been doing, along with volunteering in numerous, you know, foundation or Little League, and then now the council, so I'm very pleased to be here.
You should be comfortable here. We got some numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but yeah, my numbers knowledge pales in comparison to you guys. So
different take.
Yes. Yep.
So when you get a chance, you might want to read the investment policy statement, which has a lot. Oh, did maybe I can get you a copy of that. I've got an excerpt up for you. But
okay. Thank you.
We've got a couple of things going on. We'll let you kind of catch on the flow as we go here, if you could. Approval of the minutes. Do I hear any approval for the minutes?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approval minutes approved as attached of January 16th. We have two member openings now, thanks to you becoming a treasurer.
No, I got booted off. My term was up.
Oh, is this treasurer?
I was booted.
I knew, huh? I thought it went until June 30th that you...
No, it was over in January. That's why I didn't come to the January
meeting. Oh, you got booted off. Oh, you didn't reapply.
Remember, because I was put in partially through, so my term expired in December.
And you didn't reapply.
Well, I did, but I wasn't... Then they...
Well, because we contacted him, and that was all we had.
So I think the bottom line was...
That's why I wasn't here in January, because I wasn't a member. Yeah, that would have been the unwashed public then, so I couldn't tell them.
All I knew is what I saw in
their public comment.
Public comment, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway...
I'm still working on that guy that used to be in the, you know, like construction area of Anaheim, just moved to Villa Park, and he was supposed to come today and be a guest. But I knew he was a little iffy, so.
So I think everybody, I think we talked about this before, everybody ought to identify at least one, if not two people, and I took it as well, about who you think would be there. And I think, you know, in the past, we've looked for diversity in skills, but it's clearly comfortable with investments is important, whether in their own personal portfolio or not. Municipal finance is a little different. Because of the laws, it restricts us to a five-year variation. We call long-term 5 years, medium-term 2 to 3 years, and short-term immediate to 1 year kind of funding. And then what we can do is a little bit. So it's really regulation-driven a lot. And so sometimes when we get a real heavy investment person, they last for about 2 years and quit because it's like, whoa, you guys can't do reverse repos and all these other things.
But the whole accounting system's different. We just have to
So somebody's familiar with numbers, and nice to have accounting investment finance background, but doesn't have to be. So, and then we typically have a city council member, oftentimes a retired city council member, some investment people, some economics, accounting, whatever. So that type of person that's comfortable with numbers and around that and willing to learn, it would be good. We have two people from the two member slots from the Citizens Attorney Villa Park, and it was formed out of the bankruptcy at that time when the county went bankrupt and had some of our money, and luckily we didn't lose too much as opposed to some other cities, but we were invested with them. And then we've gone through various iterations, some of which I'll go through today, but just the rear end of how we got to where we are now with our current investment. So I think we're pretty well on top of it. I want to take the meeting today and take the last half of the meeting, if we have, hopefully have time, and talk about how we maybe do some best practices and look at creative things that we could do beyond that, if there are those available within the regs. And over the years I've been here, people have introduced various things by going to conferences, by seeing other things, by wondering if that would pass muster with the accountants, and off we go. So I thought it's time probably to refresh, because we spent really the last two and a half or three years wrestling with investment policy statements, because we were assigned to look at the pension investments, where there's a called Section 115, where it allows you not to be constricted to five-year stuff, and you can, because you're taking over a 20-year period or more, then you can go with diversity and long-term horizons. So that was freeing to us. It was a new area, and we've contracted with PARS, who will see their report today, PARS and investment analysis. So that's where we are with new members. It's a great time to bring new members in, because we kind of take a fresh look at this. And I also think it's good to refresh the committee regularly, which I've seen over the years. As I came in fresh and became a troublemaker and said, well, why don't we do this? That kind of stimulus is great, versus saying we can get rid of through this meeting in 15 minutes and out of here, which some past committee members said, Underwood, we used to be out of here in 15 minutes. So why have the committee? But so we can add to the strength of the committee, council, have the council not have to be investment experts and not get splattered when something goes wrong, and you can splatter us. And we can do that. So we've got a great wealth in the community. It's just a matter of us seeking them out. Mm-hmm. They're smart people. And quite frankly, when Stephen Pollack was here, he moved out of the community and was living with an individual in Yorba Linda after having lived here 30 years or so. And we really looked it up, and there's no regulation that says you must be a citizen of Villa Park to be a member of the investment advisory committee. So even if you met an investment advisor who had some connection with Villa Park, in Stephen's case, he lived here a long time and was president of Rotary and so forth, but expertise probably overranks citizenship, as long as we're not all from outsiders. Mm-hmm. Outsiders. Love that. Okay, that's A1, Totong. Update on city council actions. Has anything happened?
Nothing relevant to the group here. Obviously, lots going on, nothing that's pertinent to this group.
Okay. Did you have a chance to go back and see? Did they not approve us not doing the investment
policy?
Yes,
we're all good.
Okay.
I admit that was my error.
So, for the council point of view, I think we proposed that this policy be reviewed every 3 years. Council came back and said, "Hey, why not 2 years?" And therefore, every time new people come on, that would give them a chance of that during their term. We've spent more time than I'd like to admit on the Section 115 policy, which we've incorporated in. Mm-hmm. And so we asked last year at the council to say, why don't you let us not review the policy of the old investment policy and sync up the Section 115 policy, which embedded into the new policy, and let us look at that next year, and let us do substance instead of process. So
in November, they approved the Section 115 policy, and by including it into the investment policy, So they did that set for 2 years. That'll be
so intact. We need to look at that next year or year
next year?
Next year.
2020.
Yeah, 18 to 20. Yeah.
2020. We have to present it by the end of November 2020.
Well, we revised it 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that
wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah, when I first
it was like almost 2 years ago because we went.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it's not before that. I don't think it's been revised.
Well, but you went through the real specific, and we took out all the Anaheim references and all the. Remember that's the editing you did a lot of it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that out of date as it was then.
And we get a turnover of the council. So anybody that, or the council member that objected violently to what you proposed in terms of some items, you reintroduce it because it's fresh blood.
So I mean, you'll remember that the two things that they did is they made it 2 years versus three, and they put the glossary back in.
Yeah.
Remember that you wanted the glossary?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That was the only real significant change.
I brought it up.
But there was a glossary attached, and the group had recommended deleting it, and the council said, no, we really like it, that's important. So they asked that it be put in so that
it needs to be revised now.
Now it will need to be revised.
So the glossary will have to be.
It was written like in 1997,
if you Google the terms, that's up to date. So we thought, well, you just need to Google the terms. And they said, no, we need to see it on the paper. So we have ignored it.
So
we left it in, actually. We did what they said, left it in.
We have 2 years to update. And at that time, it will be a complete update, including the Section 115 review.
Right.
Wow. So that will be the whole package. Because now, as you recall, we didn't make them separate policy. Section 115 is just a subsection of the full policy.
Right. Your stamp is on it.
I did, yeah.
So,
good.
And we have that all signed. I just need Harold's signature,
who's
been a pretty busy man.
So this is the one that has the glossary left in?
That's the full, that's the approved file.
Okay, that's not revised.
It's just a little dated.
Okay.
After you get Harold to sign it.
Active one.
I will distribute it,
Could you send it out to the committee? I really don't have a copy of the final product.
But maybe you can just copy all of this once it's all signed.
Or electronically send out to whatever.
Yeah, it's all the resolutions and whatnot.
Okay, so that's the schedule on the investment policy. We have some. Frank is with his kids in Texas.
His daughter is expecting. They're expecting a second grandchild, and so they have in September. So they have a big in Arizona, big exam.
And
they went over to be with her, so she gets the sex of the child and all the good stuff. So he wanted to be with her. So that's a big deal for her.
Do we have some reports?
They're attached. He did provide a copy of the treasurer's report, which I believe you have subsequently signed. And that will be on the agenda for next Tuesday. And then the cash balance is there, the final page, which you'll see is the monthly report that he provides.
So we have two CDs coming available?
Yeah, I believe those were to be consolidated.
They were supposed to be consolidated, I believe, last year, actually before I got on.
We
decided
to
ladder it on bigger chunks of 200 instead of 100.
Right.
Okay, so I think that's still approved.
So he was waiting for that to mature, and then he was going to go ahead and consolidate those, I think is what Frank
So one matures in July and one matures in November?
Yeah, I think that's right. Barclays matures
in November. In July at 100, and another 100 from Discover Bank at November. So we'll do... Just put that in something.
Yeah, he's got two of them that he'll put
into
one. He was going to explore what's available at that point and see.
Oh, and the Discover Bank is
November.
Yeah. Well, you see the little initials after the dollar amounts there. That looks like Union Bank, huh?
Oh, it does say UN. Oh.
Well, that's if you look at these are split. We've got some of them at Wells with the WFs, and the other ones are the unions.
Yeah, Michelle used to complain that the dealing with union was very difficult. We did that because of Will had been so generous and helpful with the city. But when you go to investment, it gets transferred from Villa Park down to Long Beach.
So it's not even in this
branch. And it's a bureaucratic hassle to deal with. Wells, on the other hand, so easy to deal with. And Sandra is the gal who... finds these things for us without any fees. So,
So we're trying to move things back out of union then.
Well,
it goes,
it's up to you. Talk to Frank what he feels about it. I know Michelle felt pretty strong.
Plus, we lost Will. He moved to Texas.
Yeah, Will moved to Texas.
That was a bummer for all of us.
Yeah, Will wanted me to go change my
brain. I do business with them. I do other business with them. I do business with both of the banks. So do you want me to go talk to people and see if we can get it smooth, or if it's just a union policy and there's nothing we can do?
I want to talk to Frank and see what he's... Okay. His read might be different than Michelle's.
Yeah, yeah. And then find out who he's really dealing with.
Got it.
Because unions...
Well, I've got some stuff they're really smooth on and some things they're not.
What are they really providing?
We wanted to give them some CDs...
But they're not with their bank. They're not with their bank.
No, they're the manager.
They're the manager.
They basically manage it.
Those last two.
So we get basically a monthly statement from Wells and a second monthly statement from Union that have you know, here's what's covered there, and then Frank basically consolidates those and plops them onto this report. And for whatever
And they don't charge anything for that then? They're not charging us
I mean, we're pretty small potatoes for almost anybody. But we were trying to do a favor back for Will and show that we were city was
trying
grateful.
To support exactly.
I mean, versus us just doing it ourselves.
What's that? Oh, we do not. These Wells find most of these from their inventory marketplace, and they do it not because we're profitable. They do it because. She serviced Bill Nelson on the cemetery district, and which has a lot of excess money set aside to buy more land to bury people, and a big deal. And he said, "Hey, would you do our city?" And she came down one time, and she's a nice person. She's in San Luis Obispo, has a little specialty of investing for special districts and municipalities, and we typically have trouble finding anybody who. That will pay attention to us.
It's just small numbers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's small numbers, so the city can't do it themselves.
I think there was a concern just about staff. We have one finance person. And so, Frank, that was kind of the concern with the PARs as well, that we just...
The other thing is knowledge base. I mean, do we have somebody here that can research it and say, this is the best one that we should be doing, and then there's a liability, I would think, also, because then we're taking on the pick of, I picked this one out of 300 that are out there, and somebody complains, well, why aren't you getting this extra...
So we weren't doing laddering and CDs before we got here.
Right. That was simpler.
Six or seven years ago. But they did it previously, and they had
And see what they're charging us.
They had a secretary do
it.
And then we had two city managers who said, no, but hell no, you're not going to give any more work to our finance director to do this. And we said, then we came up with this gal at Wells and said, hey, she won't be our manager, she's just a broker. And she's willing to do it because of these other accounts. So that we went through this. It was kind of a three-year rigmarole. So he's a little easier. I mean, that's a more gracious.
Frank comes with a different knowledge base, you know, because of 30-some-odd years with the county dealing with the banks, et cetera.
Yeah, right.
So Frank has a little different sort of expertise. So Frank's perception versus Michelle, who would come from an auditing background.
Right.
There might be a real difference. So if you two have that conversation.
The other thing we're looking at is the F&M, and I haven't talked with Frank this month. He was trying to get a hold of them. We're getting, zero out of, $200,000 to $700,000 a month sitting in a checking account. And I don't think that there's, you can see up at the top.
Yeah, zero.
And so it's the thing that stuck out to me when I first looked at this, because I had never seen the sheet before. And to me, we're always going to have money in that account. Either we need to sweep it to zero, and this should always basically show zero, and we should be getting something in a sweep account, or we should be getting some sort of interest off of there, which I think would be more than enough to pay for any fees we're getting through either Union or Wells for their investment advisory. I mean, if I was going to swap off getting money back to put money in, that's where I'd say our big pony is. It's not huge, but
it's something. Why not get something?
Well, my only question here is, again, are we allowed to do that? I assume there's nothing wrong with that.
So
I would think there's no issue.
Logistically,
we flipped the second half of the meeting or forward-looking.
Okay, what's one thing I'd like to talk
about? Those are new ideas we can put on the table. Mm-hmm.
But that's the one thing that stood out to me was...
Makes sense.
I noticed that when I was doing research for some of the material for that. I said, wow, here's some clever ideas for sitting around cash.
We should talk a little bit more as we get, because there's a cash issue here.
I understand that. That's what I mean. As long as we can get access to it.
Liquid.
Without having to say, okay, I've got to transfer $100,000 over to get $50,000 out to pay. I mean, that's just
A sweep.
If we can do a buy sweep in, out, then somebody, I would think somebody, even if it's not F&M, there's somebody that would love to have You know,
Citibank does that. I know.
A $500,000
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. A checking yeah. account. Oh, I mean, no, I know no. if I walked in with a $500,000, yeah. I could get some stuff out of this. You know,
you're gonna get a coffee stuff. Cup or something.
Exactly, whatever that stuff is, I would think the city could get something out of this.
That's
I'm like,
right.
why is that just?
So this is our bounce out checking account. I'm having trouble with the line.
It's the very first
item that has no guaranteed rate.
Yep, and the
I just thought we didn't have.
Yep, and the reason it caught my attention was the very first month we were there, we had just had a redemption, and something else had happened, and it was like $750,000. I'm like, we got $750,000 in here, and we're getting $0. I mean, not even a penny
right.
back on it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so as long as everybody here is good, I'll
yeah.
Good.
If you, before we leave that page, if you look on the very bottom, because that's item number C3 on that, the section 115.
Right. Yes.
There's your PARs, the very bottom. You can see that. Oh, yeah. The where we are, where
right.
we stand with that. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of the update.
Yeah.
We had.
What's the next contribution?
$100,000, and that would
is
be
that
in
June.
We're going to make it a little early.
Okay.
Frank and I wanted to make it in May.
Okay.
You know, we have the money budgeted.
1 month, yeah.
Yeah, so
right.
we'll.
Might as well.
Yeah, so we
yeah.
figured we were going to go ahead and do it. Kind of mm-hmm. up until this point, we hadn't done so well in the fall.
Correct.
And then in early January, February, we started everything picked up.
Positive again.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
then
yeah.
Frank was like, don't worry to put our money over there when we're not doing it well with it. So he said, let's not do it. But
right.
now that we're doing it a little better, he
right.
says, do you mind if I expedite it?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm good with that. So we were going to try and push it in.
We'll see if we can't get a recession going
yeah.
back then.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The minute we do it, that's yeah. how it works. Yeah.
So anyway, but that is the update on the section. We do get monthly reports from
right.
them. I think he shares
right.
those with you. We get them online, actually, too.
No,
so
really we don't.
Well, we also
I share John gets
treasure.
Right, I get it. And we also suggested putting it all on one because originally it had not been on the sheet. And, you know, it's assets of the,
yeah.
of the
right.
city, so
right.
it should.
Right.
I think it should all be on here, and good, bad, or indifferent within, I mean,
yeah,
hopefully
we just know it's long,
relatively
it's labeled
good.
Long term. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it is all on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is basically, this
good
should
job.
Balance out
yes.
completely. Before, this was off, and if somebody really wanted to do...
You had to do reconciliation.
You had to do an Excel, you'd have to say, where's the missing 100,000, or as this grows, mm-hmm. where's the missing $500,000, or whatever we
so,
end up getting.
So you recall the plan is 100,000 for 4 years, 100 each year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Again, that's subject to council approval, but the 100,000 for this year is already budgeted, and it's a matter of
right.
moving the money when
getting
he invested.
It
yeah.
But again, he was in no hurry when we're losing money on the
right.
deal.
Yeah,
makes
sense.
But now,
see, that's what he should have been, you know, when it was.
Well,
hindsight.
You and I are agreeing.
Hindsight, yeah.
Yes. but if you.
Now I'm nervous.
Our concern was there were some more conservative folks than this room
yes.
that thought that we shouldn't do this at all. Mm-hmm. And realistically, in the long term, this helps pay for the retirement,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
is a fixed expense. And theoretically, we can get this to almost be a self-fulfilling policy, or at least the view of the folks in this
yeah.
room is we can get this to be self-fulfilling if we fund it well enough. It just keeps multiplying, and it knocks down the liabilities and underfunding and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem was, politically, if we put it in up front and it immediately dove, which of course it did.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, I mean, whatever.
Murphy's
Law.
So
there were people saying, well, how do we do it? What happens if it dives? Well, of course it did, and so, because the stock market dumped.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting it in then, all the people that wanted to jump on, or the few people that wanted to jump on, however you want to look at it, we're going to go, see, we told you so. And,
yeah.
And we got
the
new treasurer.
See, yeah, the previous treasurer had considered this a pilot project, as you recall, the first 100,000.
Correct.
So it's sort of been an evolution, and even the old council had some reservations
right.
about it. So we're kind of moving. So in the budget this year, we're planning on putting more in there. You know, that's our intent. If we put 400,000, we believe the goal was to be over 80% funded
right.
in our retirement, which is
right.
pretty well funded for it's considered.
Yeah. Not bad.
Oh, well,
yeah, not
city.
Bad.
But it keeps moving. The percentage keeps moving down as CalPERS keeps changing their rate.
The discount rate.
CalPERS is making quite a bit more money. So interesting enough about flip-flops, if you look down the guaranteed rate column, which is the fourth column over from the narrative, it's interesting that LAIF, the state local agency, is making 2.4% rate, and OCIP is making almost 2.3%. And then our medium term, which is supposed to be a little higher, is barely higher at 2.35 with CalTrust. And then our medium term notes and CDs are actually less, Dennis would love this, are less than
right.
LAIF and OCIP, except for the 3.5 UBS Bank CD at 3.5. So I would assume that we'll be moving those rates up.
Correct. The average rate
as we swap out.
Well, it just
out.
Depends on what happens. But as we swap out right now, if everything stayed the same, which of course it never does, then we should be moving upwards.
And two of them don't, at 1.9 and 1.6, don't swap out to 20 and 21. But we also have the ability to swap out, if the rates are better, swap out and take the penalty as well, make sense. So we haven't, we're kind of inverted almost a little bit at this point now, so we'll see how that works out. Thanks, this is a very good report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And then, so before you go, the another issue too, you wanted to talk to the council about the 115, you wanted to brief the council about the 115 bill that you talked about, the getting, setting. We had two new council members.
Yeah, so we thought that the, we did not do,
we haven't, but we talked
about it. I did a little bit of chat. He actually called and wanted to know all about this. We have not gotten together. We need to do that. Our Lynn wanted to do that.
Just talk about the investment policy and what it was all entailing. We haven't done that, and we should think about what we want to do.
I'm a little jammed for the next month due to running the OCTA one.
You want to hear about it?
Would love to hear about it.
Okay, we can just meet for coffee and I'll show you the...
That would be great.
And Lynn's vice chair and knows this stuff better than anybody.
I'm sure she does.
And knows how to teach it, too.
Yeah, that's a good... Yeah, yeah, make it simple. Make it for an 18-year-old.
So, yeah, we can tell you about Section 115.
I mean, the issue is, once you put it in there, it's gone. It's sort of locked in.
Right.
And that's sort of the issue that Dennis always had. We could do better on our own.
But we can always put other monies, you know.
So it allowed for us to invest in things that otherwise we were unable to do.
Yeah, so
that's right. That's right.
The retirement obligation never goes away, unless you consider the city completely goes away. So when you consider the city isn't going away, you have this ongoing stream of obligations. And realistically, if you look at financial, you should have long-term higher rate payback if you have a long-term obligation, and we had it completely the opposite. We had all this stuff continuing to accrue long-term and nothing sitting here getting a comparable rate. So the theory is if we move more of it into this
long-term,
let's call it higher risk, higher return,
okay,
in parentheses, then you get a better return, and we know that it's not going away. So if you look at it, you're going to have the blips, but over time it all balances out and you come out, you know, better in the head. But it's hard to get...
Well, it's hard because it's scary.
Exactly.
People only look the next couple of years. They're not looking
at
it. Well, the flexibility you have is that we do have the flexibility because we make, this is on top of our normal contribution to PERS. So we can always use this in lieu of our normal contribution if the situation ever got so dire.
That's why I mean the money's not really locked in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it is. The $100,000 would be locked in as a trust.
$100,000 is nothing. But if you look at this, again, we need to take, we came back, let's say, before I even got on, and said we need to take a longer-term view of the city.
Could we, in the interest of time,
we could
take that offline so we can get Brad out here on time?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Please. It is irrevocable, but it's irrevocable only that it has to go to that function. And then the cash analysis. Oh, so can we schedule then after we, if you could get from, have Frank get from PARS, when are we going to get could we get an annual report for the through the half year, through June, that would show a results to date that we could then take to the council? That I would assume would be in the July meeting, possibly. Because that would be June 30th, so we say here's through the year, here's through a. We would then almost have a full year. We went in September or so.
Sure.
That'd give us 9 months.
And
then we could present.
Yeah, we get it. So it's just a matter of yes. So you've got the cash analysis there as well.
So you see, we are going. We're up to $3-4 million, down from $4-5 million, down from $4-6.
What?
You're looking at the average, the bottom?
Yeah, the annual average.
The very bottom.
And then the
annual liquid average.
Yeah, and then by the time you take out what we've invested, it looks like that's about one, two, about two, 2.3 or so under investments there. Okay.
Yeah, one of the things that's important to note, and Frank did want to mention, we have a couple major capital projects that are in process, and I think he's talked to you about that. So our average is higher, and it's gone up because we had set aside money for the road project. And that project started last year, but because of rains and things like that, sort of delayed it out. So our cash balances is sort of creeping up, if you notice, but that's because we haven't made payments to the contractors. But that will drop by June. You'll start seeing some
and
drop.
Those projects are
what's the other
$2 million?
The sewer
project, which we're closing out on.
And they total up to be about parkland, rough terms.
$2 million.
Yeah, $2 million.
Yeah, a couple million.
So we're about $2 million that will drain out of that with those projects payments go occur.
And the Mesa Henderson is the other one. That's the final payment.
Oh, that's not the sewer project. That's something.
That's another one. So there were three big projects.
Oh, so that's a separate one. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's added a new category down there in the note. And it's on the right hand bottom. It says percent of investment short term and liquid 61%. That one might be one you want to look at too.
Well, we're obligated to have a 50%. The way the investment criteria says is we have to maintain 50%. Well, we have to maintain 6 months of the budget readily available. So the question is, you know, with me normally, I'd say pretty much almost all of this stuff is available. But if we look at short term as defined on our policies back on the previous page, then that's what he's putting here at the 61%.
So let me purchase from another point. We generally don't have a cash flow statement forecast.
Okay.
But that we relied on the finance director, Michelle, to say, I think this could be released up to long-term investments. And what would be, quote, 5 years or more, up to 5 years. If we, as a new treasurer coming in, if you could look at that and kind of talk with Frank about should we be increasing our investments at this point? Which is probably...
We could. The question is, what do we consider short-term? Or what do we consider available? That's
well the policy...
right.
The policy defines, I think, is 6 months of budget.
I think maturity. You have to just go by maturity.
Got it. Without paying.
So it's a little bit counterintuitive for me to make that statement because major projects are coming down. So you assume that these... projects probably happen over a year, year and a half or so. So need to keep that in mind. So like all cash flow estimating, it's kind of an art more than a science.
Okay.
Anyway, glad that's a nice addition to have that perspective on there. What do we see? We have up to portfolio performance schedule for updated city council. We're back to the back page under the discovery. Are all of you in... skip a little time here. Are all of you familiar with best practices, what that is? It was something we used in our consulting firm a lot. Basically, I always thought of it when it first came in as stealing good ideas from others.
But
a lot of real... that's a cynical way to look at it. But there are a lot of real benefits to best practices. It's a good time to refresh and kind of look outside our bubble and learn what others are doing and fill some knowledge gaps we have. It's also inexpensive to do for a city that works on volunteer assistance and great small staff. So I thought we could do that as a way to kind of refresh ourselves out of the process we've been in and say, look around, are there other smart ideas doing that? So I went on the web and first look for all the cities that had investment committees, primarily investment committees that had citizens in them, but they also have a lot of investment committees that have a couple of council members overlooking the treasurer. And oftentimes they have an elected treasurer, so all kinds of differences. But when you look at their statements and what they're invested in and what they're doing, I think the most interesting one I saw was Palo Alto. I restricted to California just because we're all operating under the same constrictions or laws. Palo Alto... You should have known it was being a university town. They do a lot of investment in environmental companies.
Okay, let's not bring that up.
It's really fascinating. But that kind of, that's an interesting idea. And then San Mateo, a couple of different ones that did it. So all of a sudden you got this, So we're pretty good at using our advisors and accountants and lawyers and rejecting things. But if we don't have a lot of stuff to go into the mill, then we can grind away on it. So the Section 115 was one, speaking of grind away, was one we ground away on it. A lot of people were wondering if that really made sense. And then finally, with four or five good arguments, we came through that one. So that's what we're doing. I thought we could do with best practices. I thought maybe we could use our committee as well as a staff to do that. I think on the agenda here we said, so with that, the arm that you could provide says, provide agenda time to suggest new investment ideas. 2A, discuss executive summary of the BP current basic principles. I didn't put together a summary, but I did in 2015 boil down our investment strategy down to about three principles that we introduced here, and we were familiar with them because we had to fight to get these in. And that's how we really still operate today. So if you look at where the arrow is down below, the top part, is it part of a memo that we were challenged by a new city council person on this city who wanted to not have us govern ourselves, but wanted to have the city council govern us by them telling us who our chair and vice chair was, and interesting ideas that we kind of rebelled against. So with that, we kind of justified up above, here's what we've done at this side for the last 5 years, and pooted our horns with some numbers that Dennis had come up with for our new policy. And then the policy was really simple. It was number one, laddering the 5-year investment maturities that could be held to maturity to ensure that we eliminate market risk, so we don't have to worry about those instruments going down in principal, so that maintains the principal. We've started matching, which we hadn't done before. We were investing before in OICP and LAIF, and no bonds, no identifying that that's 5 terms. And then we didn't get as good a yield at that time with LAIF and OICP because they were giving immediate liquidity. Therefore, they were investing in a combination of short and long-term things. So they were more of a short-term fund. Mm-hmm. Looks like maybe a little different now, but that's what it was at the time. And then finally, on the back side, the back page, we invested only in insured and conservative governmental pools. Mm-hmm. And that met the three objectives that the state has for municipalities, which are ours, in priority order. That safety of principles, number one. Liquidity to meet operating requirements within 6 months is the number two, and yield is optimized after meeting the first two objectives. So pretty conservative policy, but pretty well received in a county that went bankrupt. How long ago now?
5 years ago.
24 years ago.
That?
Yes, ma'am.
I think one of the things we should put on our agenda for if we're visiting other cities or any research we're going to do about new things, is we've got to, Dennis's document is gone that he presented every time, which refers to these two bold-faced paragraphs following the advice. We have 50,000 more. I think we've got to find a new way to judge our success.
Okay.
And so I think our goal should be to take out this kind of attitude that how much money we made is the answer, and get to a little more
rate of return. At that time, it was LAIF and OICPA were the standards, and that's
all. I know, but I
do.
Think we're stuck in the 90s a little bit by that document.
Okay.
That document of saying how much money we would have had if we'd done this and all that.
Okay.
So I think one of our goals for this year should be to find a new way to judge our performance.
Okay.
And new by benchmark. Looking at what other, yeah, we need a benchmark.
Updated.
It's an IRR kind of a benchmark,
exactly.
Not a money benchmark. So as we look at other cities, we should see how they judge their performance
in
their investments.
Mm-hmm. Great discovery item to find.
Because the whole dollars of investment income is largely dependent on how much is available even to invest, which we have nothing to do with.
Yeah, so I mean,
we're just trying to
this,
maximize, I think, the idea of the... You know, the checking account or whatever, high balances and stuff is a perfect example of
Plus,
something that we can improve.
You know, look at this paragraph. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
It says, if we've done things like we did them in 2010.
Oh, yeah, you're right. One of the, like, the fire authority and Long Beach, I mean, Lake Forest, they're adopting a whole new approach to their pension. They're prepaying to eliminate uncertainty.
Right.
They're just prepaying, and it's no longer an issue. But the way they measure then is what is no longer what's, it's gone. It's a zero balance.
Yeah.
So what they're showing is, so they're looking at things a little differently now. Oh, yeah. Exactly what you're saying. You're looking at things differently than, well, we're making more than we have to invest and, you know, we have to pay, or you're looking at, well, we don't owe, so you got to cash, you know, so now what are we, you know, they're different kinds of benchmarks is what.
It's hard to even audit this, too. I mean,
well, I wonder if there's a difference.
You know, really,
yeah,
if
I
it's
mean,
like, really?
That's like a standard metric, you know what I mean?
So
I don't know, maybe.
As part of our quest to do things differently.
Let's be clear, we've never had a performance measure.
Well, we kind of have, with Dennis every month saying how much money we would have made if we acted like we did in 2010.
I would have said one performance measure, the number one, should be against the number one priority. Number one priority is preservation of capital.
Safety.
Yeah.
Number two objective is liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is maximizing performance, and that's only one piece of it.
Performance.
And that was done as an ad hoc basis to ward off an individual who wanted to destroy the committee primarily. And so the way we audited it was we kept track of OSCP and LAIF and what they were making and what we were making. Well, it was an automatic win because
right.
we were going for, once we
longer
did the matching, we were matching against longer term and medium terms. Therefore, we got higher rates. I mean, it was a real simple deal. But I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it gives another level of sophistication to say we put our measures. And I also think we need to make it strong because people perform as they're measured. So once we get those measures out there, we'll perform to that, mm-hmm. right or wrong. So if you're the treasurer of Orange County and you decide that maximizing rates by playing the market, and that makes you a hero for 8 years
right.
and puts you in jail after that.
Right.
Get you an ankle break.
Yeah, right.
But we need to add a different performance,
yeah.
and we need to have who we compare with. We need to choose who we
right.
compare with, which may be the county
yeah.
investment fund's fine, but we need to choose that again. It's time to update that.
Right.
Now that Dennis's report is gone, we need something else.
Well, realistically, what we're looking for from a city is the stability to meet future obligations.
But that's our first priority. But, I mean, down somewhere along the line, we should be judging our performance compared to other groups like
so
us.
So this is the kind of discussion we want to have?
Right. Well, I would think as assets available versus...
Yeah. Like someone went back to this in this income statement, and they said, well... You know, what's our, you know, each investment has a rate of return.
Right.
Well, what is our overall rate of return?
Right.
I'd like to know, wouldn't you?
Right. Agreed.
So if we could put that as our first meeting as we come out of the best practices, and we'll discuss that up front.
Yep.
It'd be a better start
yeah.
than to just what is our performance, how are we going to measure it?
Well, it's the number three goal, but it is in there.
But there's indexes.
No, I think performance is more than the performance
yield.
Of the optimizing rates. I think the performance is all three goals.
Okay, but the third one is a little...
If you go with just measuring the third one, then you
then we throw everything into high
rates. I'm just saying
you
we need a measurement,
okay.
and it isn't...
So we'll have a healthy discussion on that when we get to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
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 But that's probably so not in the last 5 minutes of the meeting where we're trying to get assignments out to you to carry this out. So with that, let me skip through some items then. Good discussions. I brought up two areas. I thought that if each of us could research or contact 3 to 5 cities of our own choices, we could do that. I did some work along this lines. I didn't make copies of this, but if you want to copy these down, I found 10 cities that had investment advisory committees that were, I tried to start pretty local. One is Orange. If you write these down, I haven't typed them out. Or
if you want to, just give me that. I can get it out to everybody if you want, Bill.
Well,
do we want to divide and conquer so we don't have multiple people contacting
yeah,
the same
definitely.
City?
Right.
We should make assignments.
So
why don't you and I get together, Bill, and we can sort of send out something after.
So let me describe what I like to do, and then you guys say, I don't want to do that, or I'm willing to do that. So what I like to do is I had contacts of various cities. Orange, Brea were two that popped out immediately, but San Mateo, et cetera. And we'd like to that's why I gave you this other piece of what we were doing today, which is maybe 90s or whatever, but it's that's it, where we can find new ideas that we can look at, and you approach those. So those of us who have lived through the committee for over this period of time pretty well know what we're doing without having that written down. And then it's up to you, but instead of a script to go with, I'd like for you to go exploratory and discover, because we've got good knowledge here. But add to that, please, the performance, how they're measuring performance. Right. So you may have four or five things in your own mind that you'd like to know, but I'd really like to constrict smart, intelligent people about what you're trying to find out with best practices, because they may be doing other things that aren't on that list. So it's really a discovery. We can provide you the names, the cities, and the phone numbers and the contacts of either the city treasurer or the investment committee chair or whoever we'd like to go on that. So with that, I've got those identified in 10 or 12. One I did make copies of, which is kind of an interesting way. John Morlock, one of my, the only CPA in the California Sacramento Assembly, who was once treasurer of a county, and predicted. He did a ranking of all 482 cities for financial soundness, of which Bill Clark was in the upper 5%, I think.
Yeah, one of the things I need to, he did this, and we actually dropped in our rating from the year prior. We approached John because we hadn't incurred any new debt or whatever, and part of it was the calculation. So we actually, I got Cal State Fullerton students in their economic to go ahead and work with him, and they refined. So I think you're going to see an improvement in our numbers.
So this is a first-time shot, and as a right. The grand jury guy that ranked all Orange County cities and special agencies on their level of transparency A through F, the number of bitches I got back from cities like Irvine, who we've always been an A, how do we get from B to A, and they constantly change. So they'll change on this one as well. But it's an indicator on a rough level. You see, I started with city 150, and I left out the bottom three quarters of these rankings. I have the full list, but you'll see partway through this on the back of on the page 21, I believe, at listing about 130 Villa Park. So it's ranked pretty high here based on the 2017 CAFR financial statements. And lots of reasons this could happen. It could be a cheap city, well managed. Could be that they're investing well, could be not. Mm-hmm. But it does say they're paying attention. If you go to the very back page where the number one is, I was surprised, happened to be industry, which is a very small city of 440 people. It has some unique characteristics. But you see number six is Beverly Hills. You see number 11 is Rancho Mirage. You see 18 is La Quinta. You see Rolling Hills is 22. So you see some cities with some finances. Maybe they don't have the problems that Anaheim and Stanton and some other do of urban cities or L.A. that are pretty well near the bottom. You see actually Tustin's 34 on that page 26. So it's a thought process to say, here's some cities. So what I'll do is I'll give you this full report. You have this one, you have the top ones. But I'll give you the full report. We'll pop in the mail to you as well, or I'll send you the website that John has. He's on. So those are ideas, too. We'll identify initially when we get together. Steve and I will identify some potential cities and raise, and then you can come back and say, I'll take these first in, gets those, and okay. We won't double up. Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Good idea.
And we'd like to have maybe an interim checkpoint, so you're not like me and say, oh, investment advisory committee, I better get that work done. So maybe midway we'll have an email interim checkpoint of how you're doing, what you found. I think you'll find it's interesting and stimulating.
See everybody. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Brad. We appreciate it. I think we're basically through the majority of the agenda, too. Thanks. So we'll get the list of these out and those contacts, and we'll get the full 482 cities out, too. Mm-hmm. And John's a politician, so he's got purposes in mind here.
Right.
Major purpose is we're going to hell in a handbasket for our unfunded pension liabilities, and wanted to show that. And as a politician do, John has this color picture on the front of it. Wow. It wasn't black and white like over here. So you get a lot of press and a lot of creativity for that. Where are we? Best practices, research assignments. We'll take care of that then. Identify 3 to 5 medium cities. You could do 6 cities. I mean, we could do 6 to 10 cities if somebody wanted to take on that. We could do high-performing cities and Orange County cities. And then nothing to stop you from going on the internet, looking at journals. If some municipal finance journals have some out-of-box thinking. And other ideas in out-of-box thinking covers your ideas that you see as treasure coming in as fresh. Next meeting, if you put down on your calendar these meetings, July 17th and October 16th, and that would, I guess, translate to January something?
Early January, mid-January.
Mid-January in 2020. I was debating whether I was going to live to the turn of the century at the year 2000 and see that stuff. I said, oh, we'll never get there. Oh, now we're 2020, oh my God. Yeah. Next one will be 2040? I don't think so. So yeah, if you put those on and we'll... we can also...
I'm sorry, the only confusion I have... The October meeting was... Did we change it from our standard date, or did we...
No, we didn't.
We changed it back.
We changed it back, because I remember you said change.
I just screwed up another company's calendar, because they kept changing the date, and I got the wrong one.
Okay, well...
So we did not change it.
No, we didn't change it.
Yeah, and with Harold said, don't change the date if you want me to be on the committee, because I plan them in advance. That hadn't worked out too well for him here lately, but I'm sure he's got busy stuff. Mm-hmm.
I'm too busy over there.
I won't be at the October meeting because I'll be in Ireland.
Yeah, so that was the reason we changed it.
We can also make all sorts of changes that meeting.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're going to be real bad.
I resigned from 10 organizations. I need 4 more to resign from, or 5 actually.
Oh my God.
And we can also have a special working meeting on this as a committee as well, committee of X, to work on, particularly as we get new ideas and how we want to refine those down a little bit to present to the committee, because we can take one new idea and take the entire committee time and devote to it, quite frankly, as we noticed today. Anyway, I think it's new and fresh. It's open. That's why I say if you want to invite new members on board, it's a great time to have fresh ideas. Even though we lost one member to be a fresh treasure, I think it's going to benefit the city and us.
Congratulations. Lynn, was it Jimmy Draper that you were asking that was...
No, his name is Joel something real ordinary. And he worked for Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
So he understands fund accounting and that kind of stuff, because he had to run a budget, but... He's afraid he's not financial enough. I said, come to the meeting. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
If I can be here, he can be here.
No, because you're a numbers person. But he doesn't feel he is.
Very good. So do I hear that we can be adjourned?
So moved.
So adjourned at...
I mean, if you've had to run a budget with fund accounting...
Started after four.
More than 99% of people in the world, right?
Yeah.
That's what I keep telling them.
Yeah, we can also, if we have a lot of ideas, we can have a special meeting, and we also can ask if we can...